Our next speaker will speak to, I think, one of the issues that Marianne started to talk about at the end of her presentation, which is the self-conscious invisibilization or erasing of certain forms of certain groups. And so Miguel is going to be talking about the work of a Peruvian artist called Giuseppe Campuzano, who has rewritten the history of Peru from the perspective of a mixed-race transvestite natives. This individual and collective process of visibilization from the perspective of Giuseppe bring forth this idea of the very narrow limits that the ideas of gender and sexual difference play within Latin American politics and other regions of the world. So I welcome Miguel, who is a critic, curator, and writer based between Lima and Cali, Lima, Peru, and Cali, Colombia.
Thank you for the organizers and Carlos and Oliver and other people for being here tonight. I'm going to share, I want to share a project that I love and I feel myself proud of. And I'm going to read because my English is not as good as fluid. The title of my presentation is like this: Reality Can Suck My Dick, Darling. Getting the History We Deserve. What is an absolute democracy? I would like to think the idea of an absolute, not as a unique or final, but as unlimited. Thus, the question of an absolute democracy requires us to imagine a social pact where infinite and unlimited possibilities of existence can take place. For something like that to be possible, one needs to imagine democracy not as a system or a state to be achieved, but as a project, in which the structures are constantly collapsed and rebuilt. That is, democracy, not as a place, but as an act. In Latin America, which has been brutally marred by sexual inequality, ethnic discrimination, colonial dynamics, and exploitation of the workforce, all regulated by economic and political powers, which do not grant our bodies any value whatsoever, to speak of an absolute democracy would be affirm and defend the value of all life, especially those lives that radically redefine our framework of existence. It seems evident that the promise of the state as an authority and a model of the common failed. We need to go back, renew the social map, and establish new beginnings to enable a different way of organizing this fiction we call history. The purpose of this panel is to interrogate the forms of democracy and its aesthetic and political articulations, or more precisely, to ask what role is played by representation and visual culture in the collective processes of imagining another world. It is even possible to represent democracy? How can certain visual and symbolic operations open a radically new field of thought and existence? From that perspective, I would like to share with you what I consider an inspiring, remarkable example of this political rewriting of reality. The Museo Travesti, Transvestite Museum, founded by the Peruvian philosopher and drag queen Giuseppe Campuzano in 2004. This is the cover of a book the museum published 4 years ago. This museum is a portable collection of objects, images, press clippings, and appropriated works. The project, halfway between performance and historical research, proposes a critical rereading of the so-called history of Peru from the perspective of a mixed-race transvestite. Here, transgender, transvestite, transsexual, intersexual and androgynous figures are posited as the central actors and main political subjects for any construction of a democratic future. One of the museum's achievements is having established a politically corrosive and discontinuous history of transgender, which undoes the foundational myths and ideological fantasy that hides under the order of the state. In that sense, the Museo Travesti signals the need for a new founding project to open the human horizon towards new legacies that escape rational assurance, building an antagonist body to the national project. This museum is an attempt at a queer counter-reading and a promiscuous intersectional thinking of history, which collects images, testimonies, and processes to propose stations, publications, and performances that fracture the dominant models of production of bodies, confronting traditional ways of understanding notions such as humanity, citizenship, history, modernity, and gender. However, these images that this museum places in the public eye don't claim a fixed and established identity. Transvestite Museum can be thought of as a large archive and a museum of reproductions that defies the sites of traditional analysis of oppression by taking the transvestite body as locus of enunciation, a false prosthetic body whose nature is uncertainty. There is no other truth in these symbols than the processes of transformation and self-designation when one can become another. No more reality than their appropriations and displacements. A new, more fabulous and joyous truth emerges from this very artifice. This is some images that Campuzano did from himself. He's performing different like characters of his museum. The museum's portable condition, its ability to parasite any scenario from public squares and neighborhood fairs to college conferences, has also allowed it to raise questions to the subject of traditional activism, pushing in an amorphous and elusive political subject, an experimental wager that vandalizes classical theory and history in a kind of punk rewriting that seeks to supply itself of transversal imaginaries, reference and knowledges for a subject enabled to recognize itself in the existing taxonomies. It seems important to raise a question about how the foundation of previously unexisting artificial communities can open a new common political battlefield, or even more, how can renew the aspiration of a post-national global society, an international queer that uses local history to puncture the triumphant reaffirmation of the national state paradigm. In this sense, this transvestite museum collaborates to denaturalize and disrupt the false social construct, and also brings together a new troop and coalition of born virgins, kitsch natives, mestizo masturbators, Andean drag queens, androgynous dancers, and indigenous trans people, questioning the Western colonial modern construction of sexuality and offering other geopolitical morphologies from to resist and act. It is as if all those despised bodies return to celebrate a perverse pleasure and an inspiring solidarity of sexual deviance. Herein resides the importance of the museum figure. At a time when the market has turned sexual identities into consumer products, and museums seems removed from any agenda reflecting sexual politics, the emergence of this Museo Travesti is a subversive instance seeking both to redefine the political role of the museum and to reply to an official history erected on the erasure of sexual disobedience. Its emergence is a deliberate perforation of the museum apparatus, which is also a sexual apparatus, at a time when the neoliberal pragmatism of transnational economies and the corporate marketing of the cultural machinery have attempted to establish a hegemonic pattern of the museum. Setting up a transvestite museum seems to say, on one hand, that the subject has changed and that the historical struggle of women and orthodox feminisms today fell short when trying to think of our insurgent and mutant bodies, the horse, the intersex, the trans. And on the other hand, to choose to speak from the museum is also to state explicitly that this is not a neutral technique of representation, but a political device that sanctions the gaze, organized pleasure, and produces sexual identity in the public realm. It is clear that the forms of technical production of images are one of the decisive areas of struggle for other forms of subjectivity, especially in a context where, within media culture, the male, white, heterosexual body is the one with full political visual command. Or as queer theorist Beatriz Preciado would say, the body which has political orgasmic hegemony, one who has access to sexual arousal in public, as opposed to those bodies whose gaze must be protected and whose pleasure should be controlled. Precisely for being in this area of almost symbolic illegality, the traditional maps and archives that try to document and grant visibility to sexual minorities run the risk of functioning as records of surveillance, as devices of social control and discipline. This paradox requires rethinking the strategies and methodologies used at the moment of historicizing the multiplicity of sexual morphologies, and especially in the face of social practices still being pushed to illegality, sex work and pornography, for example, and where conventional forms of registration may jeopardize their existence. Museo Travesti forwards some interesting hypotheses on how to imagine critical cartographies through fiction that do not reinstate the dominant taxonomy of sexual identification and recognition, and which instead allow visualizing maps of how subjectivity and the significance of body is and could be historically artificially produced. Campuzano's work uses forgery to construct twisted legends about the origin of our community, a performative research that warns us how representation, information, and communication technologies produce the subjectivity that they purport to describe. That is, history not as mere technique of representation, but as a machine of aesthetic and political transformation. I would like to briefly mention two of his ways of operating. First, let's think of the transversal historical readings that Museo Travesti fosters with the element of its collection of appropriation. For example, a microcartography, this is our pages of the book he published. For example, a microcartography that takes the feather as pretext, starting with the large plume of Manco Capac's imperial dress, the first leader of the Inca Empire, linked to the paintings of the costumes of arquebusier angels of 18th century colonial America, made by people of the Cusco school, which appropriate colonial Catholic iconography to represent virgins and warriors, and link also to contemporary artworks or the glamorous plumages of showgirls and drag queens, or a microcartography that Campuzano calls mestizaje, or miscegenation, where the museum reflects the ethnic and sexual migration that lead to other geopolitics of the body. For example, Lima's tapadas, women with their faces veiled, of the 16th century viceroyalty of Peru until the first years of the Republic, a Chinese opera singer of 1870, perfectly dressed and with makeup, as part of the show that Chinese community staged in the theater in Lima, the images produced by the American expedition of the Scientific Commission of the Pacific, or the black cross-dressed people represented by a French watercolorist in late 19th century. Similarly, interesting is the way in which choreography and dance is used as a pretext to build a story that links devil masks and costume from Andean dances with the testimonies of cross-dressed males registered by the Indian chronicler Felipe Wangoma de Ayala in 16th century, religious procession, and the mestizo criers who modify their body with foam and balloon cheering the street sale of candy, or performing and quitting the religious repertoire in actions where Campuzano himself becomes a living mystical icon, making surreptitious public apparitions of local virgins. This is in the coast of in Lima City, in a beach. For example, in 2007, cross-dressed as Virgin of the Guacas. Second, it is important to note the compulsion with which this museum has been collecting information about the persecution of transvestite published in the national press since 1966. Newspaper clippings and appropriated images which document the violence and brutal authoritarianism of the official heterosexual gaze through one of the few biographers that travestism has had in recent decades, that is the press. This is an archive which Campuzano has brought to the street several times for demands with no apparent aim. Infiltrating, for instance, in 2006 election year, in one of Lima's main avenues to occupy a large municipal billboard in the financial district of San Isidro, intended to exalt the Peruvian woman, middle-class white heterosexual, in one of the closing days of an election campaign characterized by various threats against the gay community, a group of sex workers and transvestites took an entire block of her Prado Avenue to give up live left and to display on their own bodies those images of persecution, returning to the public eye that which has been previously been spelled and labeled as abnormal or sick. This same archive would be later be presented in square markets and universities using panels, screens, and tables. Quite like the transversal genealogies, the transvestite archive resignifies transvestite culture in a process through which those bodies, which have their human status denied, acquired by other routes the possibility of being subjects of enunciation, of being political agents of knowledge production. Considering this last thing, I would like to close here and leave the question open of how certain performative historiographical practices can renew the modes of social intervention and sexual micropolitics, and furthermore, of how queer reappropriation and perversion of institutional apparatuses of bourgeois origin can break previously blocked pathways to establish new territories of existence and solidarity from non-normative desires and bodies, redefining the democratic horizon. The question remains how to shape the social field which is politically necessary for us, that a long historical silence around dissident sexualities existed until today is not a mere oversight. It has been a persistent site of production of behaviors that have been passed down as fact. Following AIDS activist and writer Douglas Green, what is at stake is not history per se, which in any case is a fiction, but what story, whose story, and what is intended by it. The mere existence of a transvestite museum posits the question about those meanings we need to stay alive and to resist. This is about the demand of one's own narrative, for create those retrospective fictions capable of releasing hidden truths without which a worldwide idea of the future would be unimaginable. It is no longer possible to neither remain tied nor faithful to any history. Reality can suck my dick, darling. Thank you.